From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, investigative reporter Linda Moulton Howe joins us with some incredible stories, followed by the final hour, Conversations with Linda. We take your phone calls. Here's what's happening. Attorneys who filed one of the first lawsuits after the October 1st mass shooting that killed 58 concert goers and left hundreds injured on the Las Vegas Strip, they have now filed four new negligent cases on behalf of more than 450 victims. This time, however, the Houston-based lawyers Chad Pinkerton and Mo Aziz filed the cases in Los Angeles against companies including MGM Resorts International, the corporate owner of both the Mandalay Bay Resort and the Route 1 Harvest Festival concert venue there. Negligence is what they're accusing them of. A man, described by prosecutors as a jealous husband, was found guilty of bludgeoning his wife to death with an axe after he suspected she was having an affair. He confessed to the killing of his 36-year-old wife January 30th, but carried on that he was not of sound mind. Unbelievable. Partridge Family star David Cassidy has died after suffering liver and kidney failure. According to his publicist, he was 67 years old. We reported he was in very critical condition yesterday. He was born into a show business family. Cassidy rocketed to stardom on ABC's The Partridge Family, a sitcom about a widow played by Cassidy's stepmother Shirley Jones and her five children who form a rock band and tour the country. The eldest, Keith Partridge, Cassidy became a global heartthrob as the face and voice of the Partridge family's biggest hit, I Think I Love You. David Cassidy dead at the age of 67. Two key figures in the North Korean military have been punished for what they call impure behavior, whatever that is, according to a South Korean lawmaker. A move, analysts say, is likely intended to help leader Kim Jong-un tighten his grip of power. Let's check in with Charles R. Smith and get his perception of this week in review with Korea. Charlie, what's going on this week out there?
Well, actually, it appears that the Chinese are suddenly ratcheting down on the North Koreans.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Air China has announced that it is suspending all flights to Pyongyang.
Now, what does that tell you?
Well, this comes in the wake of the Chinese sending a special envoy to Pyongyang last Friday, just after the visit of President Trump. So it seems that the new announcement of additional sanctions, specifically against Chinese companies, is having some effect in Beijing, and they have decided to convey that to Kim, that they're going to have to cut off some things.
By pulling out some employees, does that also mean that maybe the Chinese have been told, get out in case we bomb?
Possible, but at this point, it would appear that it's, again, combat is rather unlikely. It actually appears to be more of a financial move on the part of, like, Air China and others, because they don't want further sanctions to be applied against them simply because they're flying to North Korea. You know, money talks.
Yeah, it sure does. Charlie, have yourself a good Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you soon enough as these continuing things begin to unfold with North Korea. Listen to this. A Massachusetts family looking for a miracle after $3,000 that they raised to give their cancer-stricken dog into a life-saving surgery was stolen by a group of thugs that broke into their Worcester, Massachusetts home, carrying off stolen items, including the $3,000 cash. Police said the thieves took off with the more than $3,000 and the cash, jewelry, and other high-end electronics. Nobody was home at the time. That's a sad story. They needed $3,000 for that dog surgery. Wall Street indexes hit record levels on Tuesday, with technology stocks rising for a second straight day and healthcare shares getting a boost too. What's this all mean to the year ahead? Let's check in with registered investment advisor Ms. Shedlock. Michael, what do you think? What's going on here?
It never stops until it does, George. Hey, I've got a question for you, though. First off, let me wish you a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
You
too.
To you, your family, the entire listening audience. George, I can't believe this. I'm just looking at my calendar here. We've been doing this for over 10 years now. I really appreciate being on your show.
Well, you're one of our staples. You know that.
I'm going to ask you a question. Which age group do you think is going to spend more this Christmas? I'm sure you're going to come up with the answer here.
I will say 35 to 55.
Actually, it's baby boomers. I thought you were going to get this. It's those that are invested in the stock market, that are doing well on it. The millennials plan to spend less. The Generation X plans to spend less.
Wow, that's not good.
Yeah, no, it's not at all. The baby boomers plan to spend on average $800 a person. The millennials, about half of that. Here's the kicker, though, George. This is the stat out of this Harris survey that really got me. Almost 25% of the millennials are still paying off their debt from last Christmas.
Oh, gosh.
George, my message here is please, please, please don't overspend. If you can't pay this off in a month or no more than two, please be careful what you're doing. Interest rates are 16%, George. Miss one payment, they're 25%. So please think about what you're doing, and once again, best wishes to you, your loved ones, and the audience for Thanksgiving.
You too, Miss. You be well. We'll talk to you soon enough. A beach in Ireland, which vanished 12 years ago, just vanished, has reappeared overnight. The sands of Aisling Bay were washed away by a storm in 2005, leaving just boulders and rock pools. But locals noticed the sudden return of the beach following a summer that has seen Storm Brian batter the Irish coast. That's amazing, though, that it would come back. An asteroid that visited us from interstellar space is one of the most elongated cosmic objects known to science, according to a study discovered on October 19th. The object's speed and trajectory strongly suggested it originated in a planetary system around another star. That's exciting, isn't it? Up next, we are going to talk about channeling ETs. Next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. You are thoroughly going to enjoy this hour. UFO researcher and experiencer Daryl Enka has traveled and channeled the E.T. Bashar for the past 30 years. Amazing story. He has more than 20 books of Bashar's channeled material published in the U.S. and Japan. In addition to his channeling career, Daryl has over three decades of experience in the film industry as an effects fabricator, storyboard artist, and set builder as well. And welcome to Coast to Coast. Daryl, I'm looking forward to this chat with you. Happy Thanksgiving, by the way.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, George, and thank you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
I only know of one other guy who has the same last name spelled like you, A-N-K-A, and that's the great singer-writer Paul Anka. Any relation?
Yeah, there's only one family with that name. He and I are cousins. Our fathers were brothers.
Ah, you're Lebanese.
I am half Syrian and half Irish.
All right, great. And, of course, Paul was born in Canada. How about you?
Me too.
Okay, great. Tell us a little bit about this channeling and how this started for you.
It began in 1973 when I had two very close broad daylight UFO sightings here over Los Angeles. First time was about 150 feet away, and the second time was only about 70 feet away. Thank God, with witnesses with me both times.
Yes.
A black equilateral triangular ship, about 30 feet on a side. And after having seen that, I began to research, because before that it was like, well, okay, I'd heard people talking about UFOs, but I didn't give it much thought because I was also told that such things don't exist. When you see something like that, it obviously completely flips your world around and you realize that reality is not what you were told it was. so I began investigating a lot of information, whatever I could find, and sort of over the years, one thing led to another, and I wound up finding books on psychic functioning and channeling and all sorts of other things. Now, 10 years after the sightings, I was introduced to a channel who was conducting seminars, and the entity coming through that channel at the time actually ultimately offered to teach a channeling class. And I went in thinking, well, how's that possible? I thought something like channeling just sort of happened to people. I didn't think it was something that could be taught. I went in to do research, not thinking I was going to become a channel, but about halfway through the course, which was a series of guided meditations to get you in touch with whatever you wanted to get in touch with within yourself or higher levels of consciousness, I received what I could only describe as a telepathic hit from what I believe to be this extraterrestrial being we call Bashar. And in that instant, I remembered having made an agreement to do this with him somewhere, either before my life or what have you. And the message that was there was that he had shown me the ship on purpose to get me to start learning what I would need to learn so that by the time it came time to do the channeling, I would be better prepared. And he basically said, is this what you still want to do? Now, I thought at the moment I was hallucinating. I didn't know if this was a side effect from the meditation or what was going on. But in that instant, that was happening in my head, and I had had a picture of him. The entity teaching the class stopped talking and turned right to me and said, there is someone here for you right now if you're ready to begin. And I looked behind me, and one of my classmates had somehow also seen an image of Bashar in her head, and she was actually sketching it on a piece of paper. So I instantly had two outside validations that there was something going on that was more than just my imagination or a hallucination. So I decided I'll go ahead and continue to practice this and see where it leads, because I already knew from experiencing the other channel that the information coming through could be beneficial to people. Ultimately, a woman doing the first doctoral thesis on the connection between psychology and channeling asked me to be one of her subjects so she could write her paper. And people started coming to her house to listen to me channel, and she would take her notes. But word started spreading, and before I knew it, we had to do this several times a week to handle the crowds, and then we had to start renting auditoriums.
Sure.
And people from other cities started inviting me to go, and here I am 34 years later still doing this.
Well, you come to us by a very dear friend, mutual friend of both of ours, Craig Campobasso.
Yeah, wonderful guy.
What a great guy. Producer of Stranger at the Pentagon about the Valiant Thor visitation.
Right.
And Craig is very serious about you, and he said, George, this is not a joking matter. This is the real deal. So we figured let's put him on and let's talk with him about this. Were you baffled or in shock in as much as this has happened to you? You know, on the outside, Daryl, looking in, people would say, oh my gosh, this guy thinks he's channeling an ET. How do you think this has happened to you, and what effect has it had on you?
Well, it's certainly changed my life in ways I never expected. You know, and the one thing I say to people is, look, I can't prove that Bashar is actually an extraterrestrial. This could be another level of my own consciousness. But really what I ask people to pay attention to is the information that comes through the channeling, because that's what really has the impact. When people listen to what Bashar is describing about how life works and how they can change their lives in more productive and constructive ways, and they apply that information, they always come back to me and say, you know, what he said does work, and I've actually made great changes in my life. And that's really why I continue to do it. However, should Bashar turn actually out to be an extraterrestrial consciousness as he presents himself to be, then to me the impact of that and the meaning of that is quite profound, because it may mean we're already having some kind of a dialogue with another civilization that could be a precursor to open contact with his and perhaps other civilizations. So it's something to think about, and it's something that we recently put in to a documentary we did about how I became a channel, which is called First Contact.
Now, it is highly possible then that he may be a physical being on another planetary system.
Yes.
And has this ability to channel and has channeled to you.
Yes, because he basically saying this is really nothing more than a telepathic link where my brain waves have been trained to go into a certain kind of an altered state at a specific frequency, and he adjusts his in a way that we sort of lockstep somewhere in the middle like two tuning forks. So what you're getting is a translation of his thoughts made out of my consciousness or my energy. It's like I'm mirroring what he's sending. So to him, that's a natural way to communicate because in their society, they're totally telepathic. And the channeling trained me to be at least telepathic enough to receive his particular frequency.
Do you know or can you describe what he looks like?
Yes, he is what has been sort of called the classic hybrid. They're about 5 feet tall, very thin, very pale, larger eyes than us, no hair on the males, some hair on the females. He is, according to him, one of the products, his entire race is one of the products of what has been come to be known as the alien abduction phenomenon, where the grays take DNA and mix it, I guess, with their own and create these hybrid beings, which are being created supposedly to help perpetuate their race because they themselves have lost the ability to reproduce. And the hybrids in feeling somehow obligated to us because of our part in their creation are attempting, according to Bashar, to help us climb the ladder and not go down the same negative road that the grays went down.
What does he say about planet Earth and any messages about what could happen in the future?
He doesn't do a lot of prediction, but he has made a few. I mean, one of the ones that happened recently is about a year ago he started, or more than a year ago, he started saying, you know, be prepared for, in our particular country, he said, everything is going to change for you in the fall of 2016. And then I believe that has certainly come to pass. But he also is hesitant to do a lot of that. He believes that we can achieve something very great in the future, but he's helping to guide us in that direction. He doesn't do a lot of prediction because for him, there's no such thing as a prediction of the future. He's basically saying there are a number of probabilities, and any prediction that is made is actually a sensing of the energy that exists at the moment the prediction is made. So once you know what that energy is, if you want it to continue, then you can perpetuate it. If you want it to change, then changing the energy will take you down a different path, and the prediction itself may have actually rendered itself obsolete by making you aware of it.
Daryl, why does he do what he does, and that is channeling information through you and maybe others too, who knows?
Well, I'm the only one he comes through, although his people do sometimes connect with other people who channel. Basically, he considers us family. As I said, we are genetically related, according to him. And knowing what has happened in the past to the Greys, and in a sense being bonded with us as family, he doesn't really want to see that happen to us. So he's giving us what he believes are the necessary tools to pull ourselves up and create a reality that is far more like what we would prefer to have on this planet, because they've been there, they've been through it, they're much more evolved, and they know it can work for us. And by, in a sense, coming and joining us, or us joining them and other species out there, they feel that that can expand their understanding of creation as well as ours.
At any time, do you think he could be tricking you about something?
Not after 34 years. I've come to understand exactly what his energy is all about. He is so averse to running anyone's life for them or taking any kind of control. He really is talking to us about how we empower ourselves, and he wants nothing to do with running our lives. He's sharing tools that he knows will work if we decide to use them, but he has absolutely no agenda that we must.
You have full confidence in him?
I do.
All right, Daryl, stay with us. We're going to come back in a moment and talk more about the channeling of Bashar. We'll take some phone calls as well. Daryl's website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. He does have one of many books out, The Bashar Blueprint for Change, and also the documentary called First Contact. We'll talk a little bit more about that. And we'll take your calls, an amazing story. The next hour, Linda Moulton Howe joins us with her stories of high strangeness. I'm going to come back in a moment and continue talking with Daryl Inca about Bashar, the channeling of Bashar, and taking your calls as well. Next, our investigative reporter Linda Moulton Howe joins us for her monthly series of reports. We are back with Daryl Inca. He channels Bashar. Daryl, back to Bashar. Did he say what star cluster he might be from?
Their solar system is in a parallel reality. So we can't see his unless we shift to his reality. But he said if we overlap his reality with ours, it would be about 500 light years in the direction of the Orion constellation.
Now, by that, are you saying he might be in another universe?
Yes.
Aha. So the multiverses do exist, I guess.
Yes, according to him, they do.
At any point, did you ever hear him lose his temper or his demeanor over things happening on this planet?
No, he is always in a positive state because from his perspective, that's the only thing that's going to change things for the better. It just adds more negative energy for anyone to go into that negative energy state.
Now, you said he doesn't do much in the area of predictions, but
right.
If he saw something happening, in the future, would he point it out to us?
He did do that in 1998. He's on record being recorded as saying that before the end of 2001, New York would have a major terrorist attack.
Oh, my God. When you channel, what state of mind are you in? How do you get into this mode?
Well, after 34 years, I just sort of automatically fall into it. What we discovered, one of the things we did in the First Contact documentary, because we were interested in finding out what was going on, is I did a channeling with my brain wired to an EEG machine, a brainwave machine, to see what's happening in the brain when I channel. And there are some profound differences, some of which are supposedly not even supposed to be possible by science. But we are demonstrating that there is an actual brainwave frequency called gamma that is somewhere between 40 and 100 cycles per second that actually represents the channeling state. When I'm in that state, to me, I'm experiencing what could be called a dynamic daydream. I know there's something going on. I know there's an interaction, but I don't hear the words. I'm getting images and feelings. And I'm getting downloads of concepts in a very time-collapsed way so that I'm getting what I need, but I don't hear what the translation is for the person that Bashar may actually be talking to. But when I come out of it, it's kind of like waking up from a daydream, mm-hmm. and I'm much more energized than I was when I went in.
Does he always come to you when you're in the channeling mode?
Yes, and if there's any other entity that needs to say something, he's usually the one that facilitates it.
How long does it take you to summon him up?
About 2 minutes.
That's not bad. Not bad. When he speaks to you, is it telepathic? Does he speak through your body, your voice?
Yes, that's what I mean. It's telepathic for me. I don't have to go into the altered state if he's just communicating with me. It just comes as a knowledge download. But to be able to speak to other people, my body then goes into that state and takes on the qualities of his personality. There's no possession or anything
right,
like that. That
right.
doesn't even really happen from his point of view. Like I said, it's more like a vibrational link up. But then my body does take on the qualities that my speech patterns change, my breathing changes, my mannerisms change, everything changes. I'm actually mirroring his personality at that point.
Do you ever go into an automatic writing mode?
I have done that from time to time, but I'm more of the vocal channel.
All right, interesting take. And generally, how long are the sessions?
Well, generally those sessions are about 2 hours for public events and about an hour for private sessions, although we do day-long things, too, where I do like a couple of hours in the morning, we break for lunch, and then I do another couple of hours, 2 or 3 hours after. The longest continuous channeling I've ever done in one sitting is about 5 or 6 hours.
Next time you're on, is it possible for us to also interview Bashar? Can you get into that mode?
I can. Bashar does not usually do interviews. He usually lets me do the talking about these kinds of things. It's not, however, impossible to talk with him. That can be arranged.
Yeah, that might be an interesting movement. And we can even have people ask him questions.
Absolutely.
And go from there. Does he display personality?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, one of the hallmarks most people comment on is his sense of humor.
That's good that they still have a sense of humor somewhere out there.
Yeah, it is. It's very helpful. And it's easy. It helps him convey concepts to us, you know, in a very playful way.
Does he, I guess if he shook his head, would he, based on things that are happening on the planet right now?
He certainly can see that we're in dire straits. But he also sees it as an opportunity to really grow from it, because one of the ways he sort of expressed it is, look, you're kind of at the end of the cycle of thousands of years of negativity, and now you have to kind of accelerate and get everything out on the table. That's why you're seeing such an acceleration of all this negative violence and other things going on your planet. You're revealing everything to yourselves. You're not holding back your secrets anymore, and you're getting it out on the table so you can finally just look at everything and go, is this the kind of reality we want, or do we want to change this? So he sees a lot of hope, even in the midst of what we may be experiencing as kind of a very dire time.
Let's go to some calls as well. Our wild card line caller, George from Opala, Pennsylvania. Hey, George, go ahead.
Hi there. Daryl, this might baffle you a little bit, but I hope it won't. But whenever over the years, and I've talked to your co-host there, we were able to make an anti-gravity machine in a matter of 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We know that that anti-gravity machine, because of its nature, takes out one part of space-time.
Mm-hmm.
We also know from the study over the years and all that, that just about all things can be described by the complex of a complex magnetic field.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're 11 dimensions, according to recent science that you can think. There is also 22 collectively for beyond that, you see. Now, here's the thing.
Yeah.
If you can make an anti-gravity machine, you can eventually fly close to the speed of light. You out-track normal communications as we know it in our radio system.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'd like you to talk to this fellow and find out how they, by the manipulations of the frequencies of magnetic waves, can on their ships or from their universe, because when it's at its final thing, it's 4.2 seconds around the universe, but meaning you can broadcast magnetic waves and complexity of magnetic waves. What are they doing that will focus here, scalar or however, to pick on you and find your 100 frequency and then communicate with you? And how on their ships, I believe it is a directed narrow, of course, a very narrow beam, that they kind of like shoot information in a direction of wherever they want to go. Otherwise, you're broadcasting it all over the universe.
Yes, correct. Exactly.
You may have an answer, but if not,
I do.
Let's hear it.
Okay. First of all, Bashar has explained that in their civilization, they can certainly use electromagnetic and gravitic energy to move around at sublight speeds. But the way they travel from star to star instantaneously, they do in a very different way. And I'll try to make this as short as I possibly can and not get too technical about it. The concept that Bashar has explained that they use for instantaneous travel is we look at an object as existing in a location. They look at location as one of the properties of the object. So they have found a way to isolate that locational variable within an object and change that variable to a different locational frequency. As soon as they do that, the object has to stop existing at the first location and just instantly start existing at the second location, no matter how far apart they are. Nothing has been traveled. It has been holographically repositioned by changing its locational variable energetically.
Has he described his personal life? I mean, does he have
many times a
family and children?
He does. He's also a first contact specialist. That is his main function, which is why he's making contact with us. And he makes first contact with a lot of other civilizations and preps them for open contact. That's one of his main jobs.
Does he admit that the ETs have been to this planet numerous times?
Oh, absolutely. He's talked long about that. And some of that information is, again, in the First Contact documentary that we did.
All right, let's go next to Julie in Bullhead, Arizona. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Daryl. So good to get to talk to you. And I saw your First Contact documentary. It was awesome.
Thank you.
Still visually sticks with me. And my question for you this evening is it possible that other ET collectives are trying to work with potential channels on Earth now?
Yes, absolutely. Bashar has also talked about some of them.
And it's been my experience that I've worked with a collective like for the last few years.
Okay.
And it's kind of like they want to know if I want to agree or work with them.
It's always
free
will.
They're not open to sharing, and so I kind of decline.
Why?
Is that reasonable?
Why'd you decline, Julie?
Because I felt really uncomfortable with the energy. I didn't like the presentation. I didn't like the non-sharing.
Okay, well, that's up to you. It's your choice. There are different ETs that do things in different ways, so you have to decide for yourself if the way that they want to approach it is compatible for you, and if not, you certainly don't have to do it, but you can certainly be open to other levels of consciousness and other collectives that might be more vibrationally compatible with the way you would want to present information.
Has Bashar ever shown you temper?
No.
Well, that's good, then. Pretty even keel.
Oh, yeah, completely. He will be often very direct and very blunt, but he's never angry.
Is he biological in his other plane of existence?
He is, although at this point in their evolution, he's explained that they are what he would term quasi-physical, because they're sort of evolving out of physical reality, so they have attributes still of physical beings, but they also have attributes of what we would call more spiritual abilities, which is what gives them the ability to sort of circumvent the concepts of space and time in the way that he does in order to even have this channeling happen.
How old would he be?
He's different ages at different times in the channeling. He can slide up and down his consciousness, but their general average age is above 300 years as far as we understand it.
Huh.
And he said there are even some that are over 1,000 in his civilization.
Are we doing anything right as a species based on his thoughts?
Absolutely. I mean, the only reason he feels that we can even have these kinds of communications is that we are opening up spiritually. We're becoming more aware of ourselves. We're expanding our consciousness. We're seeking these concepts out. Putting on shows like yours is exactly the kind of thing that gives him hope that we are having the right discussions that will lead us into a more positive future.
We'll get there eventually. Let's go to Roy in Ottawa, Canada. Welcome to the program. Hey, Roy, thanks for calling.
Hi, good evening.
Hey, good evening.
I wanted to point out...
from Ottawa?
He is.
Yes, Ottawa, Ontario.
Born.
Go ahead, Roy.
I was born in Ottawa,
Yeah, I appreciate you taking my call, and I'm going to try and contact Linda Moulton Howe. I would like to have a sit-down talk with her, but your guest tonight that's speaking on the topic, 8 years ago, I had started having some paranormal experiences, and I've always tried to be nice to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
When I started experiencing these spirits in my brother's house, I started trying to communicate with them, and I could feel them walking on the bed, and I would tell them to push on the bed once for yes and twice for no. And after about 6 months of asking them questions, I started thinking about what I wanted to say.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was thinking them, they would already answer me.
Yeah, that's how it works. When you get a telepathic connection, it's like the answer and the question and the answer are just automatically all folded up into one thing. So that's what I mean by they circumvent a lot of time and space, the telepathic downloads. See, when I channel, all the information, when someone asks a question, all the information is downloaded instantaneously. It just takes time for it to unspool into our language in my brain. So, but the original communication is instant.
You know, Daryl, these telepathic situations that occur,
mm-hmm.
Do you ever get exhausted? Edgar Cayce, of course, the great American prophet, in his trance-like states, would be exhausted afterwards.
Yeah, about the first 2 years, the energy exhausted me. But once I finally sort of really learned to trust it and let go, something happened literally in one moment where, you know how when you, if you walk into the ocean and you're, the water's just sort of up to your chest and a wave comes along and it just sort of gently lifts you up off the ocean floor, I felt that wave of energy suddenly and it just sort of buoyed me up and I suddenly realized I don't have to make this happen.
There you go.
I just have to allow it to happen. And now I'm riding the wave of energy. And therefore, I'm actually left with more energy at the end of the channeling. It doesn't exhaust me anymore.
We're with Daryl Lenka, and his documentary is called First Contact. He has been channeling a being called Beshar. Daryl happens to be, by the way, the cousin of Paul Lenka, if you're thinking about that. Let's go next to Kent in the state of Washington. Hey, Kent, go ahead.
Hi, how you doing?
Great. Good to have you with us. Go ahead.
I was curious. Earlier you mentioned... you were talking about, you know, humans not going the way, say, ways the graves went.
Yes.
What did you mean there?
Beshar has explained, he has a very different explanation for what the graves are than what I've heard from most people. He's basically saying that the story is that the graves are actually mutated humans from a parallel version of Earth. They destroyed their version of Earth and had to mutate themselves in order to survive in that damaged environment, and they lost the ability to reproduce. They were very advanced technologically, however, and therefore, in order to save their race, they had to tunnel into other parallel realities like ours, where human DNA was still viable, so they could introduce that DNA back into their makeup and create the hybrids that would not only save their civilization, but the hybrids now that are also helping to save our civilization.
Wayne in Las Vegas, first-time caller. Thanks, Wayne. Go ahead.
Greetings, Mr. Norrie. Pleasure speaking with you first time.
You too, sir.
Mr. Anka,
yes,
very much precious. It's almost like you summoned me tonight as a teacher, man. I'm glad you shared earlier about that you had to learn about this.
Yes.
And I came from absolute unbelievers of UFO and aliens, man. It's just not in my family and friends. But I've always been able to see things as a child.
Right.
You know, like visions and stuff, and stuff would come true. But this year, 2017, this was this presence I felt. It was just undeniable. It scared the hell out of me. And I couldn't believe what I was doing. I was channeling, and it was something not of this world, and I could talk to it. I could speak to it and ask it questions about the universe.
Right.
And my question is, a rooster. Sometime after the military, I had a bad car accident, and I started to be all of a sudden. When I recovered, I was fascinated by roosters. Now this was back in 1990, but I've been fascinated with roosters ever since.
Roosters.
Roosters, and I even named this presence my creative consciousness, the miraculous black rooster.
Well, we've got about 30 seconds left, Daryl. What could this all mean?
It could mean the beginning of real contact with another intelligence that could elevate us in ways we can't even imagine.
The name of the documentary, First Contact, where do people see the documentary, Daryl?
They can go to the website, whatisfirstcontact.com.
Simple enough. And your other website we've got linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Do a chat. Next time you chat with Beshar, see if he wants to come back and take some phone calls, okay?
We can certainly set that up. And thank you so very much for having me on the show. Really appreciate it. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you, Daryl. Give Craig Campobasso our best as well. I will be back in a moment with investigative reporter Linda Moulton Howe.